Well, you understand, don't you, that the Bible really is a love letter from God to His Son, to His sons and daughters, to His magnificent descriptions and people that He's created, His masterpieces. And I want you to turn to Joel chapter 2, if you would, please. Joel chapter 2, and we're going to look at some scriptures this morning that give us a prophetic direction, even while we're talking about evangelism. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, you know, the minor prophets in there. Hosea is right after Daniel. Find Daniel. Then. This is the third message in a series on evangelism. Our first one, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about reaching out in love. Loving those around us like God loves them. Seeing the reality of their need. And the Apostle Paul has a verse that I think is important and imperative for us. By all means, save some. Say that with me. By all means, save some. We want people to come to Jesus. Don't we want them to come to the Lord? Don't we want to see hundreds of people with their hands raised and tears streaming down their face in love with Jesus, delivered, free, set free, and forgiven, ministered to, full of the Holy Spirit, being just like Jesus? How many think Port Hadlock and Port Townsend and Chemicum and Irondale and Port Ludlow and Gamble and all of this region could use a lot more Jesus flowing around? So we want to see revival take place. And so we're talking about evangelism, reaching out with the love of God. Last week we talked about supernatural evangelism. We begin with evangelism from God's heart and God's perspective. And God's Spirit knows just exactly how to prepare a person for what they need when they come to a service and listen. It's not by accident that you're here this morning. God has gathered us together because the Lord has something to do inside your heart and life and mine. And God pours out revival. How many are praying for revival? Lord, revive us. Not just us, though. Let the Spirit of God sweep over the land and bring people to Christ. We celebrated Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost 2,000 years ago, of course, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early church, that birthed the church. 3,000 people got saved that day, 5,000 people another day, and that was a busy week in the kingdom of God. And the church has grown into millions and millions that have spread around the world with the message and the good news of Jesus. Gospel is good news, right? And evangelism is to herald the good news. We have good news to bring. Turn to each other and say, I got good news for you. Jesus loves you. Good news. Now let's go ahead and go to the transparencies pad. I've got some thoughts on here. We spoke briefly last week about several major outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the 20th century. And they became known, or are known as, number one, the Azusa Street Revival. From 1902 to 1906, the Spirit of God fell on people, prophecy, speaking in tongues, deliverance, healing. Great ministry took place from this little frame building on Azusa Street in California. And it was a worldwide spread revival. The Pentecostal churches were birthed out of that particular movement. The Latter Rain movement, not Latter-day Saints, that's something else entirely altogether, okay? This is the Latter Rain movement. And it broke out basically in 1948. There was a small group of students at North Battleford, Saskatchewan, Canada, seeking the Lord for Him to pour out the Spirit of God like He did in the book of Acts. And He began to do so. People came in from all around the world, flying in to see the move of God, to be touched by the Spirit of the Lord, receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then they carried the message of the good news of what God was still doing all around the world. And a great revival. Shortly thereafter, you saw the great healing evangelism movement take place, and Oral Roberts and William Branham, and some people, you mention that name and they go, oh, William Branham, he went off in error. Well, he may have gone off in some error toward the end of his days, but that man was under a powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the word of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit. You don't brand a movement because a person may have gone off base. What you do is you pray for the leading of the Spirit and you stay grounded in the Word of God, close to one another, and walk in the truth. Hide the Word in your heart, right? Where are you going to hide the Word? That's why around here we take time to look and see, what does the Bible say? What's the Bible teaching us? All right, and then we've talked about the third major outpouring of the Spirit that occurred in the last century, and it began in about 1967, became known as the Charismatic Movement, spread around the world, Catholics and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Pentecostals and Methodists, and a huge move. Any denomination, the denominational walls fell down. People were in love with Jesus, baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and interpretation and meetings took place, and prophecy and healings and the gifts of the Spirit. But most especially, and this will be interesting because you'll see how this comes by a divine intersection later, but most importantly, or perhaps one of the most important things of the Charismatic Movement, was the Spirit of unity. Great unity as people's heart walls went down, and unity because we love the Lord together, that kind of bonding took place. All right, that was in 1948, latter rain in 1948, charismatic in 1967. Now, the Bible says, as is the natural, so is the spiritual. Now, what happened? Can you tell me what happened in 1948? The little tiny country of Israel was revisited and rebirthed by God, a nation born in a day, the Bible says. And Israel was reestablished. Israel was restored. Now, when you take a look at 1967, you have something in the spirit, you have something in the natural. I urge you, always keep an eye on Jesus, keep an eye on what God is doing supernaturally, keep an eye on what He's doing in the church. Now, we've run out of eyes, but one more eye, keep it on the little tiny country of Israel. In 1967, something else happened. It was called the Six-Day War, in which Israel was again supernaturally spared by the hand of God. They captured again, for the first time in thousands of years, or in hundreds of years, the city of Jerusalem was no longer divided, but was united. So the Charismatic Movement, one of its main things that occurred was unity in the body of Christ. At the same time in the natural, God unified Jerusalem under Israel's hand. All right, now we're going to go on. Background, information. The Bible talks about the former rain and the latter rain. God is on the move. How many can say amen? Amen. God's on the move. And He's interested in having a people who cry out to Him, who want to work with Him for revival. Now, the Old Testament addressed Jewish people or Israelis who, for the most part, lived with an agricultural economy. They worked the fields. And for the most part, they depended on an agrarian form of life. So Israel had predictable weather patterns. And those weather patterns included heavy rains in both the spring and in the fall. And when a Jewish person planted their crops, when Israel planted their crops in the spring rains would come. The former rain. That's what it was called. And that was expected and necessary to germinate their seeds. Without the spring rain, they simply would have nothing come harvest time. No hope of harvesting a crop in the fall. Now, in the fall, Israelis could anticipate and usually received a great rain just prior to harvest. And that is, and was known as, say it with me, the latter rain. And it would greatly enhance their crops just before harvest time. Now, church, down through the ages, the hand of the Holy Spirit has moved. The Scripture tells us that in the last day, there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural move of God, and I believe we are getting ready for that day. I want to see that day. How many here want to see the day of God's moving? Lord, do it. Pour out Your Spirit on all flesh. Now, the Bible says a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. And there's a reference to the 2,000-year last days, if you will, of the church. And you see an astounding event occur in our lifetimes, pretty much, some of your lifetimes, in 1948 with the restoration of Israel. After the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what did we see? After the first outpouring, persecution set in finally, the diaspora, the scattering or the diaspora, the fall and destruction of Jerusalem in what year? 70 AD, if you remember your history. Now, according to the Bible, how long is a generation? 40 years. And so if Jesus was crucified and the Spirit of God was poured out right around 33 AD, but remember, Jesus was probably born really, according to our calendars, in 3 or 4 BC. That means around 30 AD, the Spirit of God fell on Pentecost and birthed the church, and a generation of the former reign, if you will, was poured out, and the church was birthed. Great, miraculous, wonderful things occurred. But 40 years after that event was what year? About 70 AD. The early reign. Down through the ages we come to a latter reign and a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit that literally ushered millions and millions of people into personal relationship with Jesus and into a relationship with God that was very alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic movement. Don't let people minimize that. That was a huge move of God, and it occurred in about 1967. 40 years, a generation, the former reign, the latter reign. If it's true to the principle of God, 40 years is about what time? 2007, 2008. If you mark 40 years by a generation, what you have are years of revival. And we come to current day. Now, every eye, right here, look at me. I am not standing here today to prophesy a date. Okay? I'm not going to do that. Some of you were around when the little book came out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 88. That didn't happen, so the author went 89 Reasons Why He's Coming Back in 89. Okay? I'm not doing that. But I want you to see something. I want you to see, as your pastor today, I'm going to bring you some interesting things, and we're talking about outreach and evangelism. Folks, the need is acute for people to come to Christ now. God is on the move, and we need to understand and watch some of the divine intersections of God. I'm not going to give you a date, but I believe it's close. Let me make one more comment, then I'll get back to my notes. I don't know if you remember when we were preaching through Luke and we talked about the cry that came forth for the bride. The bridegroom cometh. Remember? The bridegroom cometh. And then he delayed his coming. And so some virgin's oil ran out. Remember that? And the message is, keep your lamps full of oil. Throughout the night, the perspective and background of that is throughout the nighttime and throughout the next ensuing hours before the bridegroom would come, there were several times when that message would cry out, "The bridegroom cometh!" And they would get up and trim their wicks and make sure they were ready. Now, you can look at me today and say, you know, Pastor Kev, we've been saying throughout the ages, Jesus is coming back. Turn to each other and say, Jesus is coming back. You're all a bunch of truth tellers because Jesus is coming back. When? You know what I want to tell you? Be ready right now. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. Pastor Carl taught me for years and years and years. So I got ready, I stayed ready, I'm still growing. Anyway. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. Be ready. The bridegroom cometh. And we're going to see some interesting things today that tell us, I believe it's a lot closer than you might think. God's Spirit is moving. According to the principle of His Word, 40 years, generation, former reign, 40 years, the latter reign. What does that mean? 67 to 2007 or 8? You can broaden it from there, but it's an interesting perspective on the principle of God. And I want to tell you one other thing before we go on. Do not limit the moving of God by what you see in the natural here in America. Church, I want to say it again. Do not limit God by what you see the Holy Spirit doing here in America. Its soup is ready at different places in different times. And what you have in the Hebrew and the Greek is not necessarily an all around the world all at once outpouring, but the Spirit of God will pour out His Spirit. In Africa right now, the Holy Spirit is sweeping through the land. Thousands upon thousands are coming to Christ. A few weeks ago, I stood up in front of you and I read you some true statistics. Thousands of Muslims are coming to Jesus Christ every single day. A supernatural move of the Holy Spirit is taking place. And we till this hard ground in America. You know, you want to come to church? Who needs church? I live on the Olympic Peninsula. I have the beautiful outdoors. I don't need Jesus. That's none of you. But that is some people around here. Hard ground sometimes. But the Spirit of God is moving. How many want to be in what God's doing? Me too. So don't limit Him by our interpretation of what we see. Don't live by sight, but by faith. So what's happening now? The time is ripe. People need the Lord. Say with me the phrase, people need the Lord. Church, let's hit our knees. Let us be in prayer. Let's not let heaven rest. Let's cry out to God to move by His Spirit. Let's cry out to God to fulfill His Word, that the earth will be filled with His glory as the waters cover the sea. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you to get somebody on your heart. We took a moment to pause. Is there someone on your heart? That person should be bathed by the Spirit of God in your prayers now. Keep it up. No condemnation if you haven't been praying as much as you should. Keep it up. Keep praying for that person. Some people we pray for and pray for and pray for, but is the ear of the Lord deaf? No. God hears your prayers. Now, the message title this morning is Always Be on the Lookout. Always be on the lookout. How many ever played games when you were kids where you were the lookout? What did you look out for? Anybody and anything, yeah. But the stage coaches, you know, they had the lookouts and they had the people ready at a moment's notice to be able to defend the people they were with. Always be on the lookout, keeping an eye on what Jesus is doing. An eye on the spiritual, an eye on the natural. Keep an eye on the natural as well, natural Israel. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And we want to see something. And folks, this scripture is for today. Take a look. God has restored His people and His land. This is speaking of now. Joel chapter 2, verses 21 through 27. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field. The open pastures are springing up. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree, the vine yield their strength. Church, all throughout Israel, Israel has literally made a desert blossom like the rose. Just as the Bible prophesies will happen. Olive oil and vineyards and great fruit. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. He's given you the former rain faithfully, and He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. There is a double portion of anointing. Now, some of this is fulfilled. Is there more to come? Yeah, sure. I believe there's more to come. But you see literally a desert blossom as the roses. With roses in Israel. Verse 24. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat. The vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the year that the swarming locust has eaten. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, the great and my great army which I sent among you. 2,000 years this little country lay barren in non-existence. And now restored, it overflows with fruitfulness in a desert place. Sends around product around the world. Some of the inventions you use every day, the cell phone and voicemail and things like that, invented right there in Israel. You take a look at different people groups all around the world and the Nobel Peace Prize winners and the Nobel winners for literature and medical and science. You see, proportionally, this 14 million group of people has the longest group of winners of the Nobel Peace Prize, literature and everything, more than any other people group on the planet. Great blessing. Great blessing. Who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Verse 27. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God. There is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Interesting. Have His people been put to shame? Sure. Do they need Jesus? Let's all agree. Absolutely. And hundreds of messianic congregations are springing up throughout Israel as we speak here this morning. Time of great blessing, provision, bounty, and harvest. And that's what's occurring. Is that all that God's after? No. But I believe we are seeing fulfillment of these texts. Now, look at what comes next. Look at God's timetable. Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. Joel 2, 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. We have seen a nation born in a day. We have seen the blossom and the desert blossoming like a rose. It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be what? As the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls. God will fulfill His word. Now the Lord wants our cooperation. We get to work with Him. But be on the lookout for what God is doing in His timetable. And He wants to use you and me to reach people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, to the weak I became as weak, it's right up here, 1 Corinthians 9, 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak, I have become all things to all men, that I might, say it with me again please, by all means save some. Now if you're taking notes, I want you to write down on your page this word, incidental evangelism, that phrase. Incidental, I-N-C-I-D-E-N-T-A-L. Incidental evangelism. Paul had a goal to cooperate with God in bringing great harvest. Evangelism, heralding, sharing the good news, telling others about Jesus, bringing them to the Lord. It's not complex. It doesn't have to be condemning. Invite him to church, tell him the good news, pray for him, share a good word with him, tell him God loves them, tell him Jesus loves them, and you do too, and keep praying for the person God put on your heart. We are getting made within the next week or two. We're going to have a tract for you, if not by next Sunday, shortly thereafter, a tract for you, a very simple tract about how God loves you, and you can take as many of them as you want to be able to give to people. And then I want you also to write down, get your calendars out if you would please. I'm going to tell you about something we're going to do. Get your calendars, and those of you who are looking at me going, oh my gosh, he's going to go door to door. No, I'm not going to do that. But we're going to bring them to your door. Mark your calendars for June 8, just in a few weeks, June 8 at 6 p.m. Very simple. We're going to print up an invitation and have you pass them out, hand them out, invite people to Grace Christian Center's dessert and a movie. Simple. Doesn't have to be complex. Dessert and a movie. Let me ask you an honest question. How many like dessert? Now, some of you are not honest. Okay, let's see your show of hands. How many like dessert? We'll try that. Okay, that's what I thought. How many like movies? Okay. That's one thing. We are in an area where people like doing those things. Invite them to your home. Come on in, and we're going to watch a great movie together. It doesn't have to be complex, but it's incidental evangelism. This one's a little more planned, but the incidences of life is what I'm after. And we're going to create a time for them to be able to come. Watch a movie, Grace Christian Center, dessert and a movie. All right, what did Paul do? On every occasion, by any means, however he could, he reached out. When he was making tents or working in leather with other people, he was sharing the gospel. While he was traveling on foot, he was sharing the gospel. When he was in jail, when he was on board the ship, he was sharing the gospel. And you look at me and say, Pastor Kev, I'm not the Apostle Paul. No, but you're you. And people need you and the Jesus that you have. Incidental evangelism. And the incidences of life. People need the Lord. Say, people need the Lord. always ready, always on the lookout, that I might by all means save some. Let me give you a few examples. Abraham's servant. Abraham's servant was one, and this is Genesis chapter 15 and especially Genesis chapter 24. Abraham's servant. Abraham says, go find a son, or a bride rather, for my son. Go find a bride for my son. By the way, what is evangelism? Finding a bride for the Son of God. Isn't that true? So go find a bride for my son. Eliezer, the servant, trusts the Lord to grant him specific leading. And he goes all the way back to the certain land where Abraham is from, and he prays, God, lead me. Let the one who's supposed to be Abraham's son's bride, let her inquire about me and not only offer me a drink of water, but offer to give water to all my camels. Church, you got to get a grasp on what that means. That's not just, here, have a little bowl here for my little puppy. That was 10 camels who can drink a ton of water. So it wasn't just a little thing. God, show me clearly. I want to bring the right bride home to your son, to my master's son. And Eliezer, the very name means God is help. And that's exactly what happened in 24 of Genesis, verses 26 through 27. Genesis 24, 26 and 27. After she did this, she came out, she fulfilled it immediately, right down to the request that he made for giving water to the camels. Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Verse 27, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, and the King James, that's New King James, the King James says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. How many are walking the way God wants you to walk? Okay, true confession. Not many are raising their hands here this morning. All right, let me say it again. How many are trying to walk the way God wants you to walk? Okay. Oh, Lord, please be with this church. Very good. We're trying, okay? Lord, I'm trying to walk your way. So as I'm walking your way, lead me. Lead me. I'm on the journey. The incidences of life will present themselves to you as you're on the lookout for who to share with and what to do. I've committed my way to the Lord, so God, lead me. You're in charge. You know who you put in my path. I just need to be ready to share what's inside. Eliezer prays. Now, look, this is really cool. Eliezer prays. He observes. He thanks God. He moves into minister. Now, this is just a little aside. Remember, evangelism, good news. What did he do? Did he walk up to her and say, listen, you better repent and come back to my house and marry my master's son. You better do that. He didn't do that, did he? He walked up and he adorned her with jewels and he gave her gifts and he thanked God for her. Yeah, you pay people and they'll get saved. No, I'm kidding. That was a little bad joke. Cut that one out. That's a bad joke. But he gave something to her. He ministered something precious, something positive. She responded. He was led by the Lord and he fulfilled what he had prayed God would do for him. Next, Philip the Evangelist. Philip the Evangelist in Acts chapter 8, then the Spirit said to Philip, Acts 8, verses 29 through 31. Acts 8, 29 through 31. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot, if you remember this story. So Philip ran to him, and look at this, look what happened. Heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? Incidental evangelism, the incidences of life. He just overheard him at that moment, led by God, overheard him reading. He just happened to overhear. Sometime you are with neighbors or friends at the store or at the office. Sometimes you just overhear what they're sharing from their heart. And you can move in and minister right there at the place of need. It just takes that listening, that overhearing. Verse 31, he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And Philip, he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. When you show that you care, oftentimes people will invite you to share more. Acts 8, 5 through 38, and especially this part, then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And he eventually led him right into the waters of baptism. You know, he led him through repentance, led him into the waters of baptism. God gave him an open door by his sensitivity to following the Spirit. How about you and me? What do we do? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15 out of the New American Standard. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now one more time, look at your feet and say, my, you are pretty feet. Happy feet, there you go. That's right. Now look what they did. Look what we do. Just share what you've seen and what you've heard. Tell them about your Jesus. Just overheard a conversation and a need. Look for heart clues. Heart clues. Incidental evangelism. Acts 4:20. We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we've seen and heard. 22 verse 15. They're up here. You are to take his message everywhere, telling the whole world what you've seen and heard. 1 John 1:3. We're telling you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We make it so complex, and we get so condemned when we fail. And what we need to do is listen and be sensitive to the incidences of life and minister as we have that opportunity. Pray that Jesus will give you that opportunity, and then take the opportunity when it's given. We're going to get some invitations for you. We're going to get some tracts. Simply share them with the love of Jesus. June 8, dessert and a movie. Now, as we conclude this message, I'm going to share a few other thoughts. I believe we are on God's divine timetable. Things in the world, as you can readily see by watching the news, are darker and darker still. And church, we could get discouraged, but what we really need to understand is that so the light can be seen brighter still. All right? Are you full of the light of Jesus? So the light can be lighter still. Now, as your pastor, I've attempted to bring warning or notice from time to time if something was happening, something about which we should be aware. I'm going to repeat again, I stay away from predicting dates. The Bible says don't do that. But it does tell us to watch and to pray. There's something happening that you should be aware about, be aware of. And I'm going to talk about it in this way. I don't know if you've heard of the blood moons and the return of Christ. And that's a biblical phrase. But I want to talk about it for a moment. And what I want to talk about is be ready. And I'm going to take a few minutes on this. And the reason I share this is, A, it's interesting. B, it gets us ready. C, it tells us, folks, our time may not be long. Let's not keep putting off till tomorrow to share the good news today. Amen? And they all said?
Amen.
All right. Now, this is interesting stuff. I can't vouch for the person who feels this is what he's been shown. People from all around the nation and around the world are rallying to this perspective. Some are saying they don't agree with it. But at the very least, it's very interesting. So, Pat, just do this bit by bit. I don't want to pull the whole sheet down. You're doing great. Isn't Pat doing great? Yes. This is actually a pastor out of Bonnie Lake, Washington, who began to write about this. And he has a perspective. And I'm not here to lift up him. I'm here to say, is there something here we should hear? Now, he is a pastor who promotes the Old Testament roots of Christianity and suggests a rare string of lunar and solar eclipses that are said to fall on God's annual holy days 7 years from now could declare or herald the second coming of Jesus. Now, lest you look at me and go, oh, for sure. Just interesting. Listen to some of the things. His study is of prophecies that focus on the sun and moon in the Bible. going back to the book of Genesis, where Genesis states the lights in the sky would be for signs and wonders and for seasons. And that's the word means a signal. The word seasons implies appointed times, in essence, for God's feasts and festivals, if you're familiar with the scripture. When we hear the word feast, we think of food. When Hebrew has the word feast, it doesn't have anything to do with food. It has to do with a divine appointment. Now, Joel states, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Blood moon. So some of you thought I was crazy. It's right there in the Bible, okay? I might be crazy, but it's still in the Bible. The moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, watch what Jesus said in the New Testament. Jesus is quoted as saying, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How many want to see as many people get saved before the final moments of the Lord occur? Let's see as many come to Christ as we can. Now, what did he begin to do? This author began to take a look at the precise times of solar and lunar eclipses, sometimes called blood moons, since the moon often will take on a bloody color. The Bible talks about it. He logged into the NASA Eclipse website, which provides precision tracking of celestial events. And there's a rare phenomenon observed of four consecutive total lunar eclipses, and those are known, can you see the word, as a tetrad. The only string of four consecutive blood moons that coincide, just a little higher, Pat, if you'll, there we go, just leave it right there for a few minutes. The only string of four consecutive blood moons that coincide with God's holy days of Passover in the spring, and autumn's Feast of Tabernacles, also called Sukkoth, according to the scripture, occurs between 2014 and 2015, which is how long from now? About 7 years. And it doesn't happen again in this century. Now, that's fine. But listen carefully. The fact that it doesn't happen again in this century is significant, but let's look at when it happened last century. The last time that four blood-red moons occurred together was in 1967 and 1968. Now, we've talked several times this morning already about several major things that occurred at that time, haven't we? The unification of Jerusalem, the charismatic movement, one of the greatest movings of the Spirit the world has seen. And then he began to notice a pattern in these tetrads. What's significant is to take a look, just line by line, Pat, I just kind of like to sneak it out. You know. Even before 1967, are you ready for this? Now, are you strapped in? You got your seatbelts on? Before 1967, the next time that you had four blood-red moons again was right after Israel became a nation in 48. It happened again in 49 and 50 on Passover and on Sukkot. Now, when checking the schedule for solar eclipses, he found two. One on the first day of the Hebrew year, the next on the high holy day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh Hebrew month, both of these again taking place in 2014 and 2015, but there's one other important thing I want you to say. That may sound like interesting stuff. 48, 67, 2014 and 15. Watch this. There were no astronomical tetrads in the 1800s, 1700s, or the 1600s. For hundreds of years, none of those had occurred. 48, 67, now again in 2014 and 2015. I'm not predicting a date, but do you think God might be in charge of the heavenlies? I'm sorry. I said, do you think God might be in charge of the heavenlies? He is, folks. Listen, there was a star that shone when Jesus was born and led the wise men and to the place where the baby lay. And God knows how to deal with the heavenlies, with the spiritual, and with the natural. Interesting. Now, others refute it. I find this very interesting. Now, some of you remember the name Hal Lindsey. I actually enjoy watching Hal Lindsey's show. He's on at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights on Dayspring Channel. He actually says some very interesting things, and he feels like his ministry is the watchman on a wall to watch over the prophetic fulfillments of some of these things. Now, he doesn't fully agree with this perspective, but listen to what he says. It's very interesting. Basically, bottom line, he ends up saying the same thing. God's about to do something big. He says, in my 50 years of studying prophecy, to me the greatest indication of the time of Christ's return is based around general things of prophecies coming together at the same time frame. He feels like this perspective is speculation. It could be, but I fail you as your pastor if I don't make you or help you be aware there are some things happening, rumbling in the spirit, over which we should be aware. But Hal Lindsey mentions, he says that about that, and then he talks about prophecies coming together. Then he goes on to say, so what really is important here is Israel's birth as a political state in 48, the increase in tensions with the Muslims, the rise of Russia, China, and the European Union, which he says is even calling itself the revived Roman Empire. Those are the things that are important. Well, church, they're all happening at the same time. Yeah. Now, just hang in there a few more minutes and we'll close. So people brought up objections. What about Matthew chapter 25 when it says, remember the story of the 10 virgins, we've referred to it this morning, and they quote Jesus saying, you know neither the hour nor the day in which the Son of Man cometh. If you take a look at that story in context, that story is speaking to the foolish virgins, not to the wise. The wise were prepared, the foolish ran out of oil, and you never know when the time is that your master cometh. Doesn't say. Yes, Rich? I don't have one in front of me. Might be. Interesting. Matthew 24:36, they quote, well, when Jesus was discussing the signs of his coming and the end of the world, but of that day and hour no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Church, understanding in context of Matthew chapter 24, that's dealing with the annual Feast of Trumpets holiday. The Israelites never knew the precise moment it began because they waited for the first sighting of the new moon. They never knew the hour at which it was going to happen, but they blasted the trumpets. They kept watch for the sign and then blasted the trumpets. So when Jesus says you won't know the day or the hour, he's saying, in essence, that's the Feast of Trumpet time schedule, because no one knew the feast or the hour. What's this all about? What is this all about? Watch and pray and share Jesus with people and be ready. Israel just celebrated its 60th birthday. Some say that this couldn't be, 2015 couldn't be the second return, but it could be the timetable starts ticking on Daniel's 70th week that sets everything in motion. All right, what does all this mean? Church, what it really means? It means always be on the lookout. Turn to each other. Would you say, always be on the lookout? Now turn to someone else and say, this may be funny stuff, but I think we better be watching. Look, God is in charge. We don't know the exact moment, the time, or the hour. I do know this. I know that Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves people. He loves people so much, he'd rather die than let them go. And that's the love that we need to have in our hearts. So let's be ready and let's take every incident we can listening and sharing, inviting, loving people the way God loves them. Elaine, as you come, let's quote together John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, lest you think that's all there is to it, verse 18 goes on to say, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. We need to help people be set free from that condemnation. We need to help people come to Jesus, don't we? Let's stand, you guys. Let's sing this song one more time as we close. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give You praise. For You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. Would you guys come? Let's close with the song that you taught us this morning. And the team, if you guys want to come back, we're going to go back to that song that they taught us. And we're going to pray here just real shortly. But what I want you to know is that God loves you. He loves you. He cares. He knows right where you are and who you are. And if you have a need in your body this morning that you need Him to touch and heal, come up for prayer. We'd be honored to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you want prayer supporting somebody that you know needs to get saved, join hands with people all around you. Pray together. Let's watch God move, shall we? Let's see what He does, because He's on the throne and He's getting ready to do great things. And you guys are great too. Love you.